Hi, this is Mike. Thank you for being a part of what God's doing at the Heights Fellowship. We hope you enjoy this message. We know it's not the same thing as being here in person, but we pray that God would move as you listen and as God applies this to your heart.
It's good for my heart to get to sit and watch my friends and part of my tribe lead worship. So as I sit and watch them lead, it's a really cool experience for me because I get to watch and I get to watch a good friend play drums and lead from the drums. I've known him since he was a student in my classroom at South Plains College. And so our story, he became part of my tribe at that intersection of our story. I watch the bass player play, and the bass player, I've known that punk for a long while now, and I actually work every day with his wife and my job outside of the church. And so it's really cool to watch him as he's a father and a husband, and then he gets up and leads his family in worship and leads us in worship, and what a cool thing. And then what a cool thing that I get to watch my friend Mackenzie, who's, I don't know, were you 14 or 15 when you kind of started leading and we started connecting a little bit? And now she's 21, and so she has continued to grow in that. And man, what an incredible worship set they led for us. And what you didn't see is all the dynamics and what just happened behind the worship set. So the worship set started with praise to God about a God and how powerful that he is and how he can make giants fall and he can bring down walls and he can do all these amazing things. And so that's how we enter into God's presence. We start with praise, right? And then, I don't know if you noticed the next song, it's called Broken Vessels, and it has the kind of a line about amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. So that's song two. And the reason song two will always, in our family of believers, in our little tribe, be a song about the cross and what he's done is to remind us why we get to come to worship today. We're going to start washing you in the gospel right when you walk in, and we're going to wash ourselves in the gospel right when we walk in. The reason we do that so quickly in the set is because if we try to wait until later, there's a group of people that you came in and your behaviors were pretty good this week. And so you come in and think, man, I'm going to praise the God all the more because I've done so good this week. And then there's a group of people that you walked in with shame and guilt and all of the things, man, I'm going to say it over and over today, but it's hard to be human sometimes. And you walk in with those things. You said, oh, I didn't do this well this week. I'm sure God is disappointed with me. I'm sure I shouldn't even be in here this morning. And so right off the bat, we bring everybody to a level playing field of this is what Jesus Christ has done. And so I know you're proud, but please understand you're a sinner saved by grace. And for those that are sinners, my goodness, we are so glad you're here with the rest of us sinners. So glad you're here. And then she started with God's truth and his promises to us. I will trust you. Man, I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. What powerful lines. And then they ended with just a little time of communion and worship with him. So Mackenzie, great job. I'm grateful that you led our tribe so well today. The word tribe is going to be used over and over today. If you've heard Marcus Pedroza, he preached about a year ago. And I think that he may have called it tribe too. I'm not sure, but he did an incredible job. If you want to take this even deeper and do a better job than I'm going to do today, go back to Marcus Pedroza's message on tribe from about a year ago, and it's pretty amazing. But I really wanted to talk about it today, and I'm kind of amazed as I stand here. This is, as I look back at where I was last year at this time, we were about to start, in my family at least, the busiest season we have ever had altogether, okay? And so we were starting the beginning of my son's senior year. And how many of you are senior parents? Anybody a senior parent out there? Okay, you got a lot of work ahead of you. It's going to be a fun year. Y'all already know this. Some of y'all may already know this. But he played football, and so, you know, we're going to be at every single game. You don't want to miss a thing. And so we're at every little thing. And then we thought that was the busy semester because that was when he was active. And then all of a sudden, the second semester of senior year, it's all these activities and commitments and things. And I'm glad we got to be at all of them. And it was wonderful. It is a busy, busy season. And take on that, getting ready for the next stage of college and all that. So there he was, and then we had my eighth grader, and you know, we celebrate eighth grade. It's the end of middle school, at least for her school, and she had all these banquets and bells and bows, and I don't know what all we were doing. I just felt like we were buying a lot of dresses. And so we're just taking turns buying dresses every couple of weeks, and so it's a pretty amazing thing. But she's got all these activities going on, And then my daughter, some chump came into our lives and said he would like to marry my daughter. And of course, he would like to do it last year, you know? And so I was like, great, good idea. And so we also added marriage prep in the middle of all of that, and wedding prep and all that good stuff. And so around second semester last year, it was just a whir of activity and excitement. And I don't even know how we're still standing. In fact, we almost toppled over and fell down. I'll show a quick video of the live footage of this.
Let's mark the bloodline!
Let's mark the bloodline!
Look, there's the good dad. There's the responsible one. There's the one you go with in case you need medical care, you know. I'm the one you call if you've got a problem or you've messed up, you know, because, you know, like, well, this guy will understand. And then there's one, you know, you need something responsible done. You probably want to get in contact with him, you know. I had some people call me Frozone. If you've seen The Incredibles, it felt like Frozone. And there for a moment, the ground was rushing up at my face at such a rapid pace and felt like I was going to take out the whole front row. And so we barely made it. We barely made it. In fact, thank goodness my wife was there to catch me and console me. And so many of you thought, oh, she was so sweet when you got there. She was just such a kind thing. She did tell me before I left this morning, she rolled over in bed as we were getting up and said, hey, remember, no embarrassing stories about me. And I said, okay. And so this begins, this is the first embarrassing story that I'll tell about her today. But yeah, so I sit down and she puts her hand on my knee and everyone's like, she's just so sweet. She squeezes my knee with all of her might. I've got a little scar still. And she said, you need to chill out. And my mother-in-law, she is an angel, a little saint. When all of it was kind of clear, she just went, And I would assume that's some sort of mother-in-law language for, I'm so glad you're okay, my sweet little cherub of a son-in-law. I'm sure that's what that means. But, you know, it was this really cool season for us because we've got all of this activity and all of these moving parts. And as we kind of looked back at that season, as even in the middle of the season, I was grateful over and over and over again for our church family, for our tribe, some of those even outside of our church family and our family. And I'm going to call it collectively a tribe, right? I was so grateful for our tribe. When my son was playing football, we had all kinds of people coming and cheering for him. Our family was coming and cheering for him. We had friends, we had people from here coming to cheer for him. And I thought it was so much fun. They knew how hard he had worked, how much time he put into it. And it was so cool that they were spending their Friday night to come and cheer for him. They were also just saying kind things to him throughout the year. And he grew up in this children's ministry and then served in this children's ministry. And then he was told, hey, what you did here is valuable. You catalyzed my children's destiny. When you tell my children that you see God in them, you catalyze their destiny. And a catalyst, what a catalyst does is it creates, it moves forth. I'm going to say spurs later in the sermon. It moves what God is doing in their life forward, steps. And when you tell them that I see what God is doing in you, it catalyzes their destiny. So thank you for catalyzing his destiny. During that time, my back kind of went out on me. And it's so sad getting old. I hate it so much, but I'm seeing some of you are experiencing the same. It was a really sad thing because I'm, you know, my whole life growing up, he and I had, well, I played football and loved it. And my brothers, I have two older brothers, they loved football. How many of you yesterday was there just a praise God in your heart? Man, Georgia Tech, Florida State, like I don't care about either of those teams. It was the greatest game I've watched all year. I mean, it was amazing. It was so much fun. And so having the football game on is something I grew up with. This was one of the things on Sunday. We come home from church and we had the football game on for the rest of the day. Something about football being on the television in the background brings me this great peace. I mean, I love it. I can nap better during a football game than any other sport. It's the most amazing thing. I can work and it doesn't feel like work if I'm working on the couch in front of the football game. Everything just feels better. But as my son grew up, we played football. I helped kind of coach him when he was younger. And so he'd worked so hard to get there. And then all of a sudden he's a senior and he's playing against friendship, the evil friendship. And so we're so excited to watch that game. My back has gone out completely. And I had guys at this church say, hey, man, I know you may not be able to make it to the game. We're gonna come to your house and watch it with you so you're not alone watching that. Pretty cool. I had a youth minister, Brandon, from here. He said, hey, man, if you go to the game, I'm going to have my minivan ready. And if you need to get out of there, like you can't make it, just know, text me, I'll come pick you up, and we'll come back and watch it at my house and finish it off. I had my tribe ready to support me. I was able to make it to the game. It was a great thing, cool, fun game, all the things you were hoping for. But it's still, I had my tribe around me to support me. For my daughter leaving eighth grade, going into high school, she's got this big heart, and she's got this just really sweet spirit, and she wants to try out for all these things. And you may have seen your kids do that if you're a parent, where they're trying out for things and trying to figure out where do they fit and they don't. And she tried out for a couple of things that were really important to her, and she didn't quite make the cut yet. And it was so amazing to me because I don't know if it was planned or orchestrated or whatever, but there's a college girl in our church that has mentored her for the last 2 years. And it just seemed like when she got home on those hard days, it was the night for discipleship every Thursday night. And she would just show up. And all of a sudden, Avon, who's been a wreck, you know, having to deal with, I didn't quite make the cut. And you know what that's like if you've ever tried out for something and didn't get it. I didn't quite make the cut. She comes home and she's no longer talking about not making the cut. She's talking about what she learned at discipleship, and her whole spirit has changed. And she would go over to Sarah's house, and Sarah would cook for her and with Kiara. And it was this amazing, cool thing where I'm watching our tribe love my kids. And then my daughter's wedding, Mackenzie, that just led us in worship, came over the morning of her wedding and led her and her bridesmaids in worship. A lot of people in this church family and some of our friends and family were involved in setting up for everything and tearing down. And it was amazing to watch our tribe love on us. And so today, I've really just come as a call to connection, a call for you to get ingrained in a tribe and to be a tribe. And so let's talk a little bit about the importance of a tribe. Why in the world is it so important? Because we live in a world where it's very easy to get behind a keyboard or get behind a screen or your phone and feel like you've got a tribe on social media. And I don't think social media is all bad. In fact, I keep up with some of you through social media. It's a great place for me to kind of know what's going on in someone's life. But really, all it should be is a supplement for what our face-to-face relationship should look like, right? You need voices of truth in your life. And that's what a tribe, a church family, a group of believers can do for you. So the truth is you may go to work with somebody that can give you some really bad advice. I watched it over and over when I was a counselor that I would have somebody that they were in a marriage relationship and they would start to tell their friends at work about their marriage relationship. And the advice they were getting from work was not godly in any way. These people were commiserating with them. They were talking about their failed marriages and their bad marriages, and they were telling them all the things they should do, and none of those things lined up with God's word in any way. And so we oftentimes start looking around for whoever's closest to us, our coworkers, social media, culture, for the truth. And what I love about a church body and a family, hopefully you're getting together on a consistent basis, and somebody's got an opportunity to tell you the truth about what's going on for you. You see, we live, and we have all these waves that we live in, these waves of life that hit us, and it tosses us. We need the voice of truth from our friends and family who are in God's word to anchor us. So I've said that your friends and family in God's word, not only do they anchor us, but they also catalyze us. So they anchor us to God's word, and they push us to love and good works, which we'll talk about from Hebrews here in a minute. You need a voice of accountability in your life and not just someone that tells you about behavior. You see, accountability partner, if you're working on physical fitness, if you say, oh man, I missed a week, They should look at you and say, you idiot, get rid of your excuses. Get up, get off the ground, get to the gym, put that donut down. They should tell you all of that, right? That's what a physical fitness personal trainer or coach should do. If you ask Brandon for help, he's going to look at you and say, you puny earthling. Here's what you should do. Eat meat. Look at that animal. Eat it. He's going to tell you things like this. When you go to your friends and family in your church body, they should wash you with the gospel. Should be one of the very first things you do. So if you are somebody's accountability partner, understand what they need very most is for you to wash them in the gospel. What does that mean? That means you go to them and you tell them, hey, do you know what God thinks of you right now? He loves you. He delights in you. He gave his son for you. You remind them of the gospel story. You see, every week we lead, we always have the gospel song in a second because we want to wash you every single week in the gospel. Every single week in the gospel. You can't get washed enough in it. Every single day you need to wash yourself in the gospel, because if you don't, you'll lean toward behaviorism. I'll try to work to earn. I'll try to do this. And what do we know about ourselves? That we're sinners, right? And so that we oftentimes veer off of that path, and then there's guilt and shame. But when we're washed in the gospel, we hear what Christ has done for us, and when we sin, we run to him, and affection stirs up, and we run even harder to him, and we stay even closer. So they should be washing you in the gospel. So here's what an accountability conversation could look like if you've got a believer, a friend that maybe you look at them and you think, man, something in their life is out of rhythm with what God has said for them, what God has said for us. You could say, hey, so-and-so, I've noticed that you've got some things going on. How's that working out for you, man? Dr. Phelan, how's that working out for you? Let them talk to you a little bit, and then start talking to them a little bit about what that rhythm looks like biblically. And then pray with them and celebrate the cross of Jesus in that prayer. You wash them with the gospel in that prayer. That's what accountability should look like. And you should have somebody in your life like that. Now, this is really hard, and it's even hard for our church family. Because what often happens is you get friends, maybe friends from church or friends outside of church, wherever that is, and you never have spiritual conversations with them. It's all about what team lost, what team didn't lose, what how work was, what's funny. You exchange some memes. You can have that anywhere, folks. You can have that with coworkers. You can have that with any group of friends. You need to have a friend or a group of friends that says to you, would be brave enough and know you well enough to say, hey, I feel like this is out of rhythm with what you've got going on here, with what God has said about your life. What do you think about that? And bring that up to you if you were out of rhythm. So for many of you, if you're married, your spouse can be an accountability partner. It can work in that as long as that's a loving relationship, right? So an accountability relationship's got to be built on love first, right? I'll give you a good example. So I like to be with people, and there was a little fundraiser going on Friday, and I like to shoot guns. I don't like to hit things with my guns, though. I just like to shoot in the air. I like to fill the air with lead is what I like to do. And so I invited some friends. We went out to a clay shoot, and we're divided into teams. A fella from the team behind us sees me begin to shoot, and he immediately bull rushes into the little place I'm shooting, and he begins to correct what I'm doing. Now, I've never met this person in my life, and I'm holding a gun, right? And at that range, I probably could have hit him. Why in the world did I not really want to hear from this chump? And then I watched him shoot, too, and he wasn't any better than I was. So why did I not want to hear from this chump? Well, I've got no relationship with him, right? There's no loving foundation of a relationship for us to do that. And so I just want him to go away. Now, if one of my friends reaches over and says, hey, man, why don't you try this? I'll probably give them a hard time, too. But I'm more likely to listen to them. In your marriage, there should be accountability based on a loving relationship, right? You should be able to tell your marriage partner, hey, this is what I see going on. It seems to be out of rhythm with who God says you are. And you should be able to at least think on that after you're mad about it. Think on it for a couple of days, and you should see a change begin to happen. I'll give you a good example in my marriage. A couple of years ago, my best friend passed away. And over the course of that season, I began, and you know, whatever, I don't know where, I don't really I don't have a big thing about where your stance is on alcohol or whatever it is, but for me, what I began to do is I began to have a nightly drink, right? Just a nightly drink, just because I wanted to just kind of escape for a little bit. And then that turned into, at night, I wanted to have a couple of drinks. And I know my personality well enough to know that I'm a habit person. Like, I can't skip working out. I'll work out all the time because I can't break habits. Like, I keep doing it. And so my wife probably knows that well enough. And she says, hey, I just kind of noticed that several nights now you're drinking a couple of drinks. And then you're going to sleep on the couch instead of coming to bed. And that's all she had to tell me. That's what accountability looks like. Your friend, you should have a friend in your life that says, hey, I feel like maybe this is going on. Now, if you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, what should happen at that point is there should be a conviction like, oh, whatever I'm doing is not wise and it's not in rhythm with who God wants me to be. And so I'm going to cut that out. I'm going to quit that. And then I may need to get some friends around me to continue to ask me about that and lovingly bring that up and then wash me in the gospel if I go the other direction with that. Because I want to do what's in rhythm with what stirs my affections for God. I need somebody that can tell me those things. Hebrews 10, 23 through 25 talks about this catalyzing. It calls it spur one other on. And I like the way that it says it. Hebrews 10, we'll start in 23, says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So let us hold unswervingly. That is, let's have people in our lives that be anchors so that we don't get off course. And then let us spur one another on. Do you have people in your life that spur you in your spiritual walk, that spur you toward love and good deeds? I think this starts off in a lot of church families, really in a positive way, that maybe have been the thread that got you together. And then over time, you don't want to be not cool, and so you quit talking about spiritual things with your friends at all, and you just talk about football, and you talk about guy stuff or girl stuff or whatever it is, and you quit talking about those things. For those of you that have been in a group a long time, if you've quit talking about spiritual things with your group, change that. You be the one to initiate the conversation. Say, hey, I just want to see where your walk is. Let's talk about that. Maybe you can still talk about football and all those things, but make sure you're initiating that conversation. And then finally, kingdom cooperation. I always love it when I watch Joy does our kids camp and all the different people involved in our kids camp. And I think about what an amazing thing that is every summer and how many people are involved and how many kids are coming and hearing about Jesus and all the people that have to be involved for that to work. If she was just trying that on her own, she would give it a try. I tell you, I know her well enough. She would give it a try. But it would be very difficult to make that happen. She could probably do it. She's Joy. But when she has all of these other believers all doing their part, the gospel can get shared in volume, in mass, to lots and lots of people, and it's this really cool thing. So your tribe should also help move the kingdom of God forward together because you can get more work done with them. So if you don't have a tribe, here's some ways to find a tribe. First of all, be present and get active. I was a life group leader for years before we started our marriage ministry, and I still do some stuff with it here and there, but I was always amazed because people would say, hey, we'd like to meet every week for the next 10 weeks, and then for the next 10 weeks, every week, they would call and cancel after I cleaned house and made brownies. After I took, while they were napping at home, I was cleaning house, making brownies. And then, sometime later on, a few months, say, hey, we need to get together and have coffee, talk if things have gone wrong in our life. Man, it would have been great if we'd have gotten together and had some consistency, and I didn't need all those brownies, right? I had to eat them all. So be present, active. Sign up for something this season with your church family, whether that's the Heights or whoever that is spiritually that you see as your tribe, and be committed. And when I say committed, I mean be there 80% of the time or better and be active in that group. You bring the brownies. You clean your house and host it. You see, there's this thing about friendship that should go both ways, right? If your friend invites you over to the house to eat, you should show up early enough to help them cook, and you should stay late enough to help them clean. That's what friendship is, right? When you are a host, that's a different thing than a friendship. A host, you come in, you take, you leave. Friends, they come in, they do life, they clean up, and they go together. So be active. Show up, be active. Understand that it takes time to have a tribe. So it's a crock pot. It's not a microwave. It's a long, long season. Kelly and I were here probably 3 years before we felt like we had a tribe at the Heights. It felt awkward at first. We didn't like some people very well, and some people didn't like us, and then gradually we ended up in the same group with them. We kind of did like them all of a sudden. And so we had to spend a long time meeting with people and getting to know people. It took time, and so that's a crock pot. It takes some time. If you're struggling with a tribe and you're like, I don't know what tribe to get involved in, serve. That's a really great way. When you serve alongside people, you have a common goal, you get to get really close with them quick. This is why you get so close with a lot of your coworkers. You've got a common goal. You see them all the time. You're serving, you're working together. You get to know them well. Try that with your church family. I know that Joy's got a children's ministry always ready for you. Brandon's got a youth ministry ready for you. We've got the coffee ministry that's going. Lots of different places where you can get involved and you can gradually get to know people and give it time. It's not going to happen maybe even a year or a couple years. It may take 3 or 4 years. And then I kind of had this idea of building a table. When I first got into business, into entrepreneurship, I was coming from education. And I felt like I was talking to these entrepreneurs, and none of them would ever say, hey, Jim, come be a part of what we're doing. It was always like, hey, here, we'll give you some information. And I got kind of frustrated with it. I was like, well, none of these guys will invite me to what they're doing. So finally I said, forget it. I'm going to build my own table, and I'm going to invite other people to play at it. And so I built my own table, and then I had other people come, and they started doing things with me. And we created this little community, and it was really cool. Sometimes you've got to build your own table of community. And so maybe you need to invite folks to your home. Maybe you need to text and say, hey, let's grab some lunch this week. Maybe you need to ask them to go out to coffee. But build your own table if you're having a hard time finding one that's existing. And then love your tribe. Be the tribe member you want to have. You know, I've got this fella, he goes to the second service, so he will die. I'm going to have to try not to look at him, and I will not say his name. He will die because this guy will randomly just send me a text, and it is a very personal prayer for me. And it's so weird. I was in a life group with him for one season. I did Re-Engage with him, which is our marriage ministry here. I did that, and then really outside of that, we don't have a whole lot of other contact, but he and I, for some reason, kind of got to be friends, and we've maintained that, and he will just reach out, and he will say, man, I prayed for you this morning. He will type out this long prayer that he prayed word for word for me, and it hits at the right time every time, like at the right time every single time, and it is the coolest thing, because about the time that my friend passed is about the time that he began to send me these texts and let me know he's praying for me, And then I'll send out a text to him. And it's the weirdest thing because I see him at church. We kind of say hi. And then we have this kind of text relationship and then grab lunch here and there. So we're building that friendship. But man, you be the one that sends that text. You be the one on your way home from work that calls people in your tribe and checks on them. Ask them out for coffee. Ask them to come to your house and eat a meal. And then just go out and have some fun with them. Create your tribe and love on them that way. Pray for them. Share a load with them. If they've got work going on in their lives and you know they've got a project going on a Saturday, man, we're redoing our flower beds. That'd sure form a bond if you showed up to help them with their flower beds, wouldn't it? Show up and help them do work. Invite them to your house to do work. Say, hey, I've got free manual labor at my house today. Y'all come on. Pizza and soda pop, right? And you just bring them on over. Find out what's going on in their lives and show up for them. There's this the scripture that said you're going to carry each other's burdens. Talks about it in Galatians. You're going to carry each other's burdens. Understand that sometimes that gets messy. So in having a tribe, there are going to be times that things go, they spin out in your tribe. Somebody will call you and say, hey, we need to get together. And it's not going to be a time convenient for you at all, ever. We've had a wife in one part of our house, and we've had the husband in the garage in the middle of a fight. And they've come over to our house where they could be safe. And we've had my kids babysit their kids while we've sat and talked and prayed with them. We've had messy, messy things happen within our groups and our tribes. And know that's part of it. Your job is to cheer for them. Your job is to catalyze their destinies. Look at your tribe, look at the people in it, and tell them what the God that you see in them. Celebrate their wins and carry their burdens. So love your tribe and love your tribe well. And then grow your tribe. So we'll look real quick at Acts 2. You know, a lot of people look at Acts 2 and they think, oh man, we're trying to get back to this. And that was a unique time in the way that God created his church and moved forward with it. But there are some things we can definitely learn from it. So from Acts 2, 46 and 47 real quick. We're actually going to back all the way up into 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone that had needs. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. One of the dangers of having a tribe is to make it exclusive, right? So when you make it exclusive, it actually becomes a clique. And I'm going to try this. Now, when 47-year-olds get their phone out and try Siri, it's funny. Like, you just, hey, Siri.
Uh-huh.
Define clique.
Which word? C-L-I-C-K-C-L-I-Q-U-E or K-L-I-C-K.
C-L-I-Q-U-E.
Click means a small group of people with shared interests or other features in common who spend time together and do not readily allow others to join them.
Did you hear the last little phrase? It sounded pretty good at first. A group of people who have shared interests and spend time together. That last part, did that rub you the wrong way a little bit? Do not readily allow others to join with them. So when your tribe becomes a clique, which can also happen in a church family real quick, you have to be really careful. So look at your tribe. Is it something that you're inviting people? Or is it something that you feel exclusive that, hey, this is the only group of people that can be part of this? If it's the only group of people that can be part of this, congratulations, you made a really wonderful clique, but you didn't create a godly, gospel-based tribe. So I'm just kind of wondering, who do you need to text right now? Like, who is it you need to invite to do something with you? Who do you need to invite into your tribe and love on? Before we kind of give you some ways to do that, I also want to make a quick just shout out to the lonely. It is hard to be human. And so for some of you, you're hearing this and saying, man, it'd be great to be in a tribe. Man, I'm in a tribe or I'm around people all the time and I still feel lonely. Would many of you agree that unless you've got toddlers, I don't think people with toddlers ever feel lonely. They have a friend even when they go to the restroom. No, the truth of that is they can feel very lonely because they don't feel like anybody else understands what they're going through, right? They don't feel like anybody else is getting their day, that somebody's with them all the time wrapped around their legs. They absolutely can. As a human being, all of us will experience loneliness. Please hear me say this. As a believer in Jesus Christ, one of my favorite things about it, and this started when I was 12 years old, I've got a personality that can lean toward depressive very quickly, depression and anxiety. And I very much feel that my relationship with Jesus beginning at age 7, but really around 12 is when I really saw that friendship begin to grow. He gradually just pulled me out of that. Like there was no going back. Once I tasted what I could have with him, there was no, I'm gonna keep thinking these certain thoughts and going back here. I'm gonna move along with him wherever he goes. You may be lonely as a believer in Christ, but you are never alone. And so, you know, I've had seasons. I mean, our home right now, it feels a little quieter. My good kid has left. She's the one that's left at home, you know. I've got the other two troublemakers out. She's quiet, you know, can hang out in her room, watch Dance Moms. Everyone goes to bed early over there now. It's weird. And I'll sit on the porch and just think, man, you know, I'm by myself. No one to tell, no one to talk to about this. There's sometimes I pick up the phone, and I still pick up the phone to call the friend that I had a daily habit of calling my friend that passed away. I'll still pick it up and want to call him. And sometimes I don't have another alternative because everyone else is working and doesn't want to answer the phone, right? I'm on the road driving between something and think I'm going to call him. And so I've had to learn, like, and when I need to reach out, if I don't have anybody to talk to, I need to make sure I'm talking to God, right? And understand, all of this is really, your friends should be equipping you in your relationship with God to reach out to Him more quickly. They should be creating that in you as well. So understand, having a social group, that's an idol. That's something you don't want. I want a social group, but I don't want it to replace the relationship I have with God. I want a tribe that is my part of my social group, and they point me toward relationship with God and greater relationship with God. There are lots of deserts and valleys in our walk. You know, there's times that you feel like, man, I haven't heard a word from God in a long time. Maybe it's somebody that you've gone through a hurt, or you've gone through a loss, or you've just had a hard day and nobody can understand you. Man, there's a story about Hosea, and God kind of uses all this crazy imagery in the book of Hosea, and he talks about, you know, he marries a woman who's adulterous, and then it's kind of this imagery about Israel and how God's relationship is with Israel. And he has this cool phrase. He says, "I lured you into the desert to talk gently to you." Sometimes when you're in the desert, when you're in the valley, God has lured you there so He can tell you and talk gently and have a very private conversation. I'm wondering, on those days you feel really, really lonely, if you'll press into Him really hard on those days. Also, I want to tell you, there's no excuse to stay lonely, okay? And so you should have some folks in this room. I'm going to give you some options, a way to reach out and connect with other people. So press into God and reach out to your tribe. Mark Batterson has this really cool phrase from his book, Wild Goose Chase. It says, "Change of place plus change of pace equals change of perspective." For those of you that may be thinking, man, I am lonely, I'm isolated, I'm on my own, you need to change your place and your pace. Find a group. Do something different than what you've done this last season. I love doing this right before, because a lot of you, you're putting your stuff on your calendar and laying out your priorities for the year and all the activities your kids are in and you're in. If you did the same thing last season and you felt lonely and alone and didn't have a tribe, guess what? That's probably what's going to happen this season too. And can I just tell you this over and over, parents? That baseball family that you go and you travel with, they are a great group of people for that season that your kids are playing baseball. Usually when that season ends, and it'll end around the time they're a senior, you probably won't spend a whole lot more time with them. That volleyball group that you went and traveled and did all that with, you probably won't see a whole lot of them anymore. For my daughter, from her school she graduated with at her wedding, there were really two kids from her entire school that came to her wedding. They're not even any players really in her life anymore. We put so much weight on those things. Let me tell you something. There's some things I've screwed up on as a parent, and I have one more chance to get it right. The last kid, she's good. I've really screwed up on as a parent. There's some things that we've very much got right. We have had our kids in this church or a church before this every time on Sunday nights, on Wednesdays, in every camp, and every time they had a disciple now, we had them here. And here's why. Because this tribe continues after high school. This tribe is great when you're in college. Oh my goodness, college students. This tribe is a place that'll love you while you're in college. This tribe has a ministry for engaged couples. So when you get engaged, this tribe can be part of your fabric of your life. This tribe has a marriage ministry. This tribe continues with you throughout a lifetime. And when you sprout kids, Papa Man enjoys a little group there, and this tribe continues and catalyzes their destiny too. Your church family is a tribe that stays consistent when all the other tribes stop. So invest here. Find a church family and invest. Here's some ways to do that. All right. So first of all, connection group, September 8th and the 15th. If you are new to the Heights, or you're somebody that hasn't kind of taken the next step of, hey, I want to get to know this church family better, something we do is a real simple connection group. It's basically, hey, come and hear about our history, come and hear about where we're going, and get on the train and come with us. So that's going to be on the 8th and the 15th. You can sign up for that. I'm going to give you a QR code here in a little bit. Life groups. We have life groups of all shapes and sizes. And so for every age and stage, we have a life group of some sort or a group you can get involved in. So of course, we've got the kids group. Brandon started a middle school group that they meet at Rock Solid during this hour, which is really cool. We've got our youth group. We've got our college group. You see them over here. And they're going to be hanging out over by the couches afterward if you want to figure out, and I think they're going to lunch somewhere. So if you're a student that is kind of checking out churches, you want to go grab some lunch, they're probably not going to pay for it, so make sure you, because they don't have any money. We're going to work on getting them a budget to do that at some point, but definitely the college students will not pay for your meal, but so you're on your own. You've got all these groups from, we have Jake and McKenna Gordon, are y'all in the room right now? I saw y'all. They are our young married kind of group, or young professional, like you don't have to be married. You're single, whatever you bring in. Yeah, come on. And then we've got all sorts of life groups. You can go to this QR code here in a minute and you can see that. Cinto, the drummer, and I, we're teaching a class on Galatians, that we're actually doing it at Rock Solid on Wednesdays during youth. The whole thought of that is a lot of parents drop their kids off at youth, and you've kind of got an hour and a half where you're not doing something. And so right down the road at Rock Solid, we're going to be leading a study on Galatians. That's going to be an eight-week study. We're going to Rosa's twice during that 8 weeks, so you know it's going to be good. So no matter what, you're going to get some good fajita meat at some point. But we're just going to keep it short and sweet, but it's just a connection point for you. So if you're like, I don't know which group to jump in, man, that's for all ages, stages, jump in. We'd love to have you. We've got the life groups of all kinds. We've got the men's ministry that meets on Thursday mornings. There's also a men's cookout happening, a men's barbecue cookout. I'm one of the judges for that. It's my favorite day of the year. But they'll do that in October, I think 6th or somewhere around there. They'll do that. Marcus is also connected to a bigger group of guys. They're believers throughout our city, and they go do something called the Forge, and they do kind of some more adventurous, outdoorsy things. So if you're a guy and you're like, oh, I can't experience God sitting and reading his word, get out there. They do a walk through the Grand Canyon. See what you just got yourself into? I would just learn to read if it were me. But if you cannot read, this is a good group for you, the Forge. We have Merge and Re-Engage. If you're an engaged couple, you're thinking about it, and don't awkwardly look at the other person right now if they don't know that's coming. We have Merge that's going to be in the winter. So in January, we'll kick that off. Love to have you there. And then we have Re-Engage. That's our prime marriage ministry here at the Heights. We do that every single winter. Always ready for you. Love for you to be a part of that. And all these different opportunities to jump in. And remember, you can always serve. There's a QR code I'm about to put on the screen. So that QR code will take you to all of our traditional life groups and lots of other things. If you want to sign up for our Galatians group, Cinto, wave at him. They don't see you behind the drum shield, thank goodness. He's going to be over here. He's going to actually stand near the greeting table after this service. You can sign up for that with him. But what I want to do is I want to call you to connect. And finally, I want to thank you for being our tribe. Thank you for catalyzing my destiny. Thank you. And that, when I say that, please know I'm not just making that up. That's not a self-help thing. That is coming directly from God's word that says, as a priest, we're supposed to bless the people, and part of blessing them is to catalyze their destinies in who God says they are. So thank you for doing that for my family. I hope we can return the favor as best we can, but there's lots of people in this room that would like to be a part of your walk. God, we are so grateful that you put the lonely in families. God, we are so grateful that when we're in the valley and we feel like we're alone, you're whispering to us, you're there with us. God, we are grateful that we're in a desert. Sometimes you've actually lured us there just to speak gently to us, Father. For somebody that's alone or disconnected today, I feel, first of all, they feel your presence and know you above all things. And second, God, that they would reach out, they would get connected, and they would find tribe here. And for those that are leaders of tribes here and leaders of our groups, I just pray today they would reach out even more and they would feel your presence in what they're doing, God. We love you so much. Amen.
Well, thank you for being a part of what God's doing here at the Heights Fellowship. If the Lord led you to make a decision or you have a question or a need, we want to hear from you. Send us an email at the email listed below, info@theheightsfellowship.org. And we will join you in praying as you take a step forward on your journey with God.